doctrines of our day. From 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works."
Yes.
The danger represented in passages such as this one and those similar to it is not just that there is false doctrine. There's a lot of false doctrine in this world.
Yes, sir.
And some of it is evident. Some false doctrine, because it is actually a false religion that has nothing to do with Christ and Christianity. And they'll clearly tell you they don't believe Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God.
Right.
The danger here is that these people pretend to be the people of God.
Exactly.
These are those our Lord spoke of, that false prophets that come in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are wolves that would devour the souls of men. One writer spoke of these men as people who make merchandise of men's souls. That's what they do.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's one thing about the gospel preacher and those who hold to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not see man's soul as a commodity.
Yes.
To be bought and had.
They
don't even see man's soul as something to be won by argument and emotion. They see the soul of man as something God Almighty has given to man, and something that can only be won if that person has been chosen by God in Christ, and that person has been given life by God in Christ. That person, when hearing the gospel, will believe the gospel and rejoice in Jesus Christ. We stand with the psalmist, and I believe it was David who wrote this psalm when he said, and it is actually, I realize that it's a messianic psalm concerning Christ, but it's still true of God's people as well. It's true of the psalmist. It's true of us. "I hate every false way."
Amen.
And see, that's the attitude we're to have.
Yes, sir.
It's not just, that's not a good way. It's a false way. Let us not be as those today in such a politically correct society in which some are trying to make us stand in, where they call things, well, that's an untruth.
Yeah.
It's not an untruth. It's a lie.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Now, they say these things, just like I used to say, and I was wrong, the non-elect.
Yeah.
That's really nice, ain't it?
Huh?
No, they're not non-elect. They're reprobate.
Amen.
You see? And I'll tell you, this is why it's so dangerous. This is why sometimes Earl or myself or Joe, we mention things, because sometimes you can get caught up in it and not even realize it.
Yeah.
You know? Coming up with these little phrases that are meant to not be offensive, but let us never forget the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and our testimony of it is meant to be an offense.
Yes, sir.
Now, you remember what Paul wrote. What is it, Galatians? In writing to the Galatians, as he neared the end of that epistle, he said in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 11, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?
Yeah.
Then is the offense of the cross ceased."
Amen.
The cross is offensive to the natural man.
Yes, sir.
And that leads me up to this last false doctrine that I want to expose this morning. And that is this. Let me just turn my page here and let's read it. False doctrine. When speaking of three main areas of redemption, salvation. False doctrine, when speaking of justification and reconciliation and peace before God.
Yeah.
False doctrine, when speaking of these three things, quotes Romans 5:1 rather than Romans 5, verse 8 through 10. The basic tenet behind most preaching today, whether it be free will, that is Arminian, or free grace, that is Calvinistic, the basic tenet behind most of it is that justification, reconciliation, and peace before God comes by faith. Now, there's Calvinists and Arminian both that preach that. That's not true. And you say that in most places, and people will be aghast at that. I'm here to say that justification before God is not by faith, it is by blood.
Amen.
God doesn't demand faith for justification, He demands blood.
Yes, sir.
Faith can't reconcile me to God. Only satisfaction to God's divine holiness and justice can reconcile me to God.
Amen.
And faith doesn't provide that. Faith doesn't try to appease God, it believes God.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference in those things.
Yes, sir.
Faith doesn't appease, it believes. Now look at it, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Now, granted, let me give an example of this. That old Roman priest, Martin Luther. What God began to reveal to him was this: justification by faith rather than by works, right?
Yes, sir.
And he wrote some able work on justification by faith rather than by works.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not here in any way to stand as some judge, because even if I tried, it would be of no value. It doesn't matter. If Martin Luther, that ex-priest, of course I feel he may well be with Christ now. What he began to see was rather that justification come by Christ through faith.
Sir.
As he understood the scriptures, rather than by what he had been taught and was teaching in the papal system, justification by obedience to the church's rules and regulations. I'm afraid he didn't get too far when it comes to justification. But it doesn't matter. If he was one of God's, he got far enough.
Amen.
He got as far as God Almighty ordained for him to get.
Yes, sir.
But I'm here to say that there is such a thing as justification by faith.
Yes.
But there is such a thing as justification by works as well.
Yes, sir.
James mentions it. But those two things don't mean the same thing.
Exactly.
But I'm also here to say, as we can say, it's a proper statement that justification is by faith and not by works. That's a proper thing to state.
Yes, sir.
Romans 4 states that, right? Paul does in Romans 4.
Yes, sir.
But it is also, that's in its right context, but it is also proper to state justification before God is by Christ, not by faith.
Amen.
That's just as true as well. Now, what false doctrine does is it picks out one point and either excludes or tries to explain all other points by that one point.
Yep.
Now, do you understand what I'm saying now? It'll take one truth of Scripture or one part of Scripture. It gets a hold of it. Now, whether it's spiritual or whether it's fleshly is not the argument here. But it gets a hold of it mentally. It gets a hold of this little truth here, this thing in the Scripture. But then the problem is false doctrine stays right there and refuses to advance anymore. And it either excludes other truth or it explains other truths away based on how they perceive that one thing. The Arminian believes this: Jesus died for everybody's sins. He's paid the price. Now you have to come up with faith. And it will make that price efficient for you. Right? Isn't that the basic tenet of what they're preaching? Jesus, everything Jesus did, He did for everybody. Because God cares for everybody. And Jesus has done what he had to do. Now the Spirit's kind of sent out there to try to coax folks along, and those that he can coax into faith then enable Christ to save them by what he did. Scripture doesn't teach that. That's not salvation by grace through faith. That's salvation by faith through grace. Which cannot be, because that's not the truth, but that's what they're teaching.
That's it.
Salvation is by Christ, not faith. Faith has never atoned for, justified, reconciled, or brought peace toward God for one sin.
That's right.
Never. Apart from blood, you have all, well, what did Paul say? Now let's think of it this way. Not even in light of blood. Paul said, if I had all faith that I could remove mountains and have not love, what did he say you are? Sounding brass, the tinkling cymbals. Evidently, faith ain't the key. Right? Right? Love is. And primarily, it's not our love for God. It's what? It's God's love for us.
Amen.
You see? If I've got all faith and I don't have that love, what am I?
Yeah.
I'm a goner.
Exactly.
That's what I am. I'm a goner. Scripture says, we love him because.
Amen.
And notice the wording of it. We love him because he first loved us. It says that says much more than just God loved us first. Right? That's the way the natural mind sees that. That's all it sees. Well, God loved us first. No, it says if God ever did love me, I will come to love him.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. We love him because he first loved us. That's it. It doesn't say we love him, but he first loved us. There is cause, because it establishes cause and effect.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. The truth of Scripture is Jesus Christ is the cause.
Amen.
Faith is the effect. You can look at it in light of that. Now think about this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Ah, see right there. Right there it says we're justified by faith. But I challenge anyone to find anywhere in Scripture that it says anywhere that we're justified before God by faith.
Exactly.
It doesn't say that. We are no more justified before God by faith than we are justified before God by works. We are justified before God by blood, and it's specific blood. It's Jesus Christ's blood.
Amen.
But here's what Romans 5:1 reads. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the King James rendering of that. But read on down. Look at what it says starting in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Now let me stop a minute. Let's think of it. Try to think of it this way. Here is the Apostle Paul writing to basically a group of Gentiles. There were some Jews there, but basically to a Gentile assembly. And many of these people were alive when Jesus of Nazareth was alive. And they were alive when he died on that cross, was buried, rose again the third day, and ascended. They were around then. Right? And he's writing to them. Now this applies to us as well. But think of it. These are the people he's writing to. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
In other words, what he's saying here is Christ died for you before you ever knew anything about him. But more, you were adverse toward him.
Yes, sir.
Right? And that's clear by what he goes on to say. Much more then, being now justified, how? What is the basis of justification? Therefore, much more then, being now justified by faith, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Is that what that says?
Yes, sir.
No. It says much more than being now justified by his blood.
Amen.
We shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, I've heard the answer from some of these folk. Yeah, but see, he's writing to believers. Yeah. Now see, whenever you begin to teach this as it is, they'll try to come up with these little roadblocks. But then they'll quickly jerk that roadblock back down when they realize they've just shut their own doctrine down.
Exactly.
Yes, he is talking only to believers.
Yeah.
About a time even before they were believers.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And what they don't, what most people want to, well, this is written to everybody. No, it's not. It's written to who? Believers. About their condition before they were believers and what Christ did for them even when they were in that condition.
Amen.
Because he says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, for if, when we were enemies.
Yes.
Right? For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by what?
Yes.
By faith? By repentance? By any of that? No. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled. And a better way in the English is having been reconciled. Because it is in the past tense and it's over with. It's not even ongoing. It's done with. In the Greek tense. Much more, being or having been justified, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen.
Did Jesus Christ reconcile everybody by his death? That's a question. Answer it in your own mind. Did he reconcile everybody by his death? If he did, then everyone must be saved by his life. The truth is this. Everyone that he did reconcile in his death will be saved by his life. Right? That's what that says.
Yes, sir.
There is no getting around that. Oh, but I like this other passage. No, you cannot take another passage and explain away or add something better to this. Each passage has its own particular fact and truth to present to us.
Yes, sir.
We dare not be like those who take one passage to explain away another. And that's what they do.
Well,
I mean, you read that to somebody, just make a couple little statements, and they say, I believe in whosoever will.
Well,
but we're not talking about whosoever will. These people were enemies. They would not.
That's right.
And Jesus did this for them when they were still enemies.
Amen.
For if we were enemies, right?
Yeah.
Had nothing to do. They were unwilling, not willing.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They were enemies.
Exactly.
For if when we were enemies, we were, already then, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Yes.
Now folks, for a sinner, for one of the enemies of God, and if God brought you to see that's what you really are, that's good news.
Yes.
You know what? That's good news. The reason it's not good news to everyone is because not everyone really thinks themselves to be a sinner.
That's it.
Now you remember what sin is, don't you? Sin is a crime against God.
Yes, sir.
And it's not a misdemeanor. It's not a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
It's the death sentence.
That's right.
Right? The soul that sinneth, it shall what? Pay a fine.
Uh-huh.
Right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
Sin is a crime against God. That's how bad it is. So much so that we are said to be what? Enemies.
Yes.
Enemies. But yet God, for his enemies, when they were even enemies, he reconciled them by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen.
You see that? So here's this full circle. That's what, you know, that's what some people say, oh, if I believe that, then if Jesus reconciled me already, then I'll just wake up in heaven one day. Well, actually, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
Yes, sir.
But you'll also wake up one day here and recognize, this is for me and I love it. You'll receive it. You'll believe it now, not just then. See, I used to say, no. You know, somebody say, in other words, you tell me if I'm one of God's and Christ died for me, I'll just wake up in heaven one day. And I'd say, well, no. You know, quit doing that. We need to quit doing that. Just say, yeah. Yeah, you will. You will wake up in heaven one day.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what happened to the old Lazarus lying at the gate with sores all over him? When he died, where'd he wake up at? Paradise. See, they're trying to somehow rebel against the truth. You know, they're rebelling against the truth. They're bringing up some excuse or some self-justification, and we're trying to pat them on the back and say, no, you misunderstand. No, you're rebelling against God. You're not believing, thus saith the Lord. You're not receiving the record God gave of His Son. The record God gave of His Son is not He died for our sins so we could be saved if. The record God gave of His Son is what? He reconciled some people by His death, and He's going to save them by His life.
Amen.
Is that what that says?
Yes,
that's
sir.
The gospel we preach.
That's
the gospel we preach. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Time's going quick, but I did start a little late and took up some time. But look at Ephesians. Now here Paul's clearly, Ephesians 2 verse 11, here clearly he's writing to Gentiles, those who are of a Gentile background. Ephesians 2, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, Paul here is not considering the election of individuals, but he's talking about the actual state of certain nations. And that's what we were. As Gentiles, that's where we were. But look at what it says. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. How? How is it that we're made nigh? We're made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
For He is our peace. Now, what's my peace?
Yeah.
Faith. But now, before God, what's my peace? Faith or Jesus Christ?
It's Christ.
It's Christ.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't say, nowhere does Scripture say faith is our peace. No, it says, therefore, having been, which is the right rendering, therefore having been justified, that's where the comma goes, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Faith is for me.
Yes.
Okay? Vertically, going upward. Jesus Christ is what satisfied, or Jesus Christ is the one who made peace vertically this way, downward toward man.
That's right.
He is our peace. Now look, who hath made both one, he's talking about these two different kinds of people, Jew and Gentile, hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain, one new man, so doing what? Making peace. Sad part is, even some free grace people say, Jesus Christ died and guaranteed that when you have faith, that when God gives you faith, then you'll have peace before God. And that's not so. Our peace before God took place 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
That's when it was done.
That's right.
So, making peace. and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Amen. So even here, Paul again reaffirms that reconciliation took place when? That's reconciliation, what? Unto God, right?
Yes, sir.
When did it take place? When we were regenerated, heard the gospel preached, believed it, and were converted? Is that when it took place? No. In one body, by the cross,
yes,
having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace. See, you know, he's already made peace, and he came along and then said, this is what he said, peace is done. Peace is established. Peace is accomplished. Reconciliation's over with.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing for man to think that by faith, now I know faith is the gift of God, but even in light of this, God does not reconcile us. He does not accept us based upon certain graces he gives us. Because why wouldn't repentance do that for us as well? Isn't that a gift? Why wouldn't love? That's a gift, right? Why wouldn't mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, right? All those things are the fruit of the Spirit. Why couldn't they do that? Because the reason is because none of them does that. Faith doesn't either. Faith doesn't reconcile me to God. Faith doesn't make me just before God. Faith doesn't give me peace before God. Faith will provide me peace toward God. And to be honest with you, I read that this morning. I didn't know that until this morning. And I picked up the Greek I have there. And I got out the two, I got out Strong's and I got out Vines. And I looked it up. And you know, it's amazing. Here again, the King James Version is wrong. Because Romans 5 reads it this way. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And I got to looking, and I looked up the word with in the Greek. It ain't in this verse. The word with in the Greek, and you'll find it like in Ephesians chapter 2, raised with him. It's a totally different word than the word here. The word here is the word toward.
Yeah.
Toward and with are two different things.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Now, you might be have something towards something and eventually be with it.
Yeah.
But that's not the question. It's not we have peace with God. It means we have peace toward God.
Amen.
In other words, faith's what makes my battle with God cease. Think about that.
Yeah.
When God gives me faith, I quit fighting against God and rather do what? Believe God. That's what happens. Now remember, faith is a gift of God. Faith is not what we do. When a man says you need to have faith, that's an impossibility. Faith is not a verb.
Yep. That's right.
You can believe, that's a verb.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says you need to exercise faith. No, you can exercise believing,
yeah,
but you don't exercise faith. Faith is a gift. From that gift flows believing. Believing God. And as I said, faith, I've already kind of mentioned it, but think about it, faith is necessary as a fruit of redemption. Faith is not the enabler of redemption. Faith cannot atone for one sin. And you know what? Faith can't make you perfect before God. You know what made us perfect? Perfect before God? I don't have time to read it, but you read Hebrews chapter 10, and let me just read you study it. You'll see the context. Verse 9, this is speaking of Christ. Christ saying this, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He, that is Christ, he taketh away the first, that's the Old Testament, sacrifices. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
Yes.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
He did that for us, and we weren't even born yet.
That's right.
He sanctified us. How? Not by faith, not even by regeneration. Now, there is a sanctification mission connected with regeneration. But we were sanctified before that.
Yes, sir.
Right? By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And everyone that he has sanctified, he's done what? He hath perfected forever. By what? For by one offering.
Amen.
I'm here to say this morning that the truth of salvation is this. Jesus Christ is our salvation.
Amen.
Don't look to faith. Don't look to repentance. Don't look to good works. Look to Christ.
Amen. That's it.
Look to Christ. Somebody says, what if I have looked to faith? Then quit. Just quit. You know? It's all right. Just quit. We all have at times. We've all probably looked to our good works at a time, sometime or another, to think somehow we're going to get something from God. Be accepted of Him, received of Him, better liked of Him. We look to Christ.
Yes.
Because one thing about it. Now listen, I know some people are not going to understand this. I'm just going to let her lay there just like it is. It may just lay there like a, you know, just like a snake in the road for some folks. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ will be there even if I don't have faith.
Yes, sir.
You know that? All these people talking about... Now listen. All these people talking about all these babies. When they die, they go to hell. How many of them have faith? How many of them believed in Christ? Like Henry Mahan said, you know, people want to baptize babies. Or most basically, they sprinkle them. They don't really baptize them. But, you know, he said, well, you can. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Henry says, that baby says, wah. He said, wah means no.
That's right.
It don't mean yes, it means no. Now, let me tell you, either salvation is by Jesus Christ or every infant that dies in infancy went to hell. And that's the only reason I have hope for any infant that's ever died. These infants that people are aborting simply because they don't want them. They had sex when they shouldn't have, and now they don't want the responsibility of it. The only hope I have for that child is that when Jesus Christ shed His blood, He shed His blood for them. Because they ain't had no faith, they ain't had no believing, they ain't had no repentance, they ain't had no good works, Mason, none whatsoever.
That's it.
But they're still under the curse of God, because they were able to die. So that proves they fell in Adam, don't it? Now, bless God, salvation better be by Christ. You know what? The same thing applies to me. Because my faith, my believing, my good works, my repentance are not good enough for the thrice holy God to accept me into His presence. God's not going to take us to glory because we got faith. He's going to take us to glory because we've been redeemed by Thy blood out of every tribe, nation. Isn't that it? Our cry is Christ.
Yes, sir.
Nothing else. Father, I pray as we partake of this table, we may do so as our Apostle Paul has said, that we may do so in remembrance of Thee. Joe and Roy Jr., please.